our brother prayed. I hope you were praying with him. And as a preacher, as one of God's ministers, I certainly would pray that I don't see anything amiss here over the pulpit. That would be against the word. If I do, please forgive me. He prayed that way, and I just feel sometimes like maybe I say things I shouldn't. I don't know. But anyhow, we're trying to be led by the Spirit. You know, the devil's busy. He's busy here in this lesson tonight. And I don't know how many of you get the Evening Sun, but this week was a picture in there of the atheists that are putting up signs at different places. One of them is at the Lincoln Tunnel. And it says that Christmas is just a myth. Sometimes we have to really, I don't think that's going to make much difference. I think believers will still believe, but it's just how Satan is working, trying to turn the hearts of people away from him. But that's not our lesson tonight. And I'd like for you to turn to number 52 in the green hymnal. And you can open your Bibles then to Job chapter 1. We're going to look at Job, several chapters in the book of Job. But I want us to take notice particularly to verse 3 of number 52. I know not what of good or ill may be reserved for me, of weary days or golden days before his face I see. I know not when my Lord may come, at night or noonday fair, nor will I walk the vale with him, but meet him in the air. Did you notice the second verse? You know, we don't know, just like Job didn't know, what was going to befall him. But I suppose things happened to him that would really shake our faith. Job chapter 1, verse 1. There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job, and that man was perfect and upright, and one that feared God and eschewed evil. Notice that here was a very devout man. It's good to read about men like this in the scriptures, isn't it? When you read about so many times, there's failures. They fail and come short. Job wasn't perfect. It says here he was, but that word perfect, we believe, is not what we would just think normally of being perfect, but it would be wholesome, and that he was really trying to live upright. That man was perfect, good, my side reference says, and upright, and one that feared God and eschewed evil, or avoided evil. I believe that just in reading this scripture tonight, we could go home well blessed. Just to see how Job took all this that happened to him. Job was one that trusted in God. He couldn't be swayed. God really had a trust in him. Because he gave him over to let Satan do with him what he would. He said he's not going to turn. He's not going to change. And I wonder if things befall us, if we would change. Number 2, there were born unto him 7 sons and 3 daughters. You know, I believe that looking at the whole lesson here, I believe that Job's wife was glad that she married a man like this. Job probably lived before it was pretty early, evidently in the history of the Bible. He lived in early days, maybe in the time of Abraham. We don't know for sure when he lived, but Just look at the credentials there in verse 1 that he had. I would like to have those credentials, wouldn't you? Perfect, upright, one that feared God and hated evil. And there were born unto him 7 sons and 3 daughters. I believe they were a blessing in Job's home, or else I don't believe that this would even be mentioned. I think that they were a blessing. They knew God, like us today. They worked and they played together. And I believe they were a godly family. His substance also was 7,000 sheep and 3,000 camels and 500 yoke of oxen and 500 she-asses and a very great household, so that this man was the greatest of all the men of the East. Take notice there. He was the greatest. He had a very great household. Wonderful credentials that he had here. And his sons went and feasted in their houses, every one his day, and sent and called for their 3 sisters to eat and to drink with them. You know, going a little further in this chapter, it doesn't matter if someone is poor or rich, tragedy can strike anyone, any one of us. Troubles and trials happen to rich or poor. Now, Satan is suggesting that Job only serves him because he has a hedge around him and he has a special protection. But God moves that away if it was so. Now, before we get that far though, whenever they went to feast, the children feasted, probably when they had birthdays, they all went and feasted in each other's house. Imagine 10 of them, and they went to each other's homes and celebrated. I suppose they did. It says they feasted together. And we find that here in these next couple verses. One thing I want us to notice too here about Job was that Job went and prayed and even offered sacrifices for his children. I wish I would have done more of that. He was concerned about them. He was really concerned about his family. Concerned about them going away and from the faith that they were brought up with. But he would just stop. And it says one place here, he even got up early in the morning. He rose up early in verse 5 and offered sacrifices according to the number of them all. I thought that was really interesting. You know, sometimes these things just come out at me, and that was one of them. He rose up early in the morning, and he was concerned about his family. And notice something else. It was Job who was concerned about his family. I believe his wife was too. But he didn't entirely trust in her or expect her to take care of things. He was the head of the home, not his wife, and he offered sacrifices unto them. Sometimes, you know, we need to say no to the children. And I don't believe that going along with everything is going to teach them everything they want to do. I don't believe that teaches our children. Sometimes we need to say no. We need to earn respect, you know. Children look for parents to say no sometimes and to stand up against things. And that's important for parents to do that. Now in verse 6, Satan had to come on and spoil this great scene that Job was having. Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. And the Lord said unto Satan, Whence comest thou? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, From going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it. And the Lord said unto Satan, Hast thou considered my servant Job? I don't understand why God did this. Maybe someone else does. I'm not sure why God told Satan to just go ahead and do this to Job. But you know, he's good at coming around. That is Satan. He's good at coming around at weak times, isn't he? You ever find that true? When we're weakest spiritually, he comes around. There's trouble when Satan comes around. There's trouble here in this lesson tonight. The first thing he did, Satan destroyed almost everything that Job accumulated through the years. Can you imagine that? When he labored all through the years, and here it was, God allowed Satan to just take it all away from him. Let's skip over to verse 21 and 22. I'd like us to read that together. And said, Naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In all this Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. Some people think that Job didn't handle this too well. I think he did. I think it would have been me. I couldn't have handled it that good, I don't believe. Through all this, Job sinned not. How would I react? How would you react? What a man Job was. Trust and obey. You want to be happy? And trust and obey. That's what the songwriter says. I believe in the New Testament, an equal to Job would be the Apostle Paul. In 2 Timothy 4, tells about all the things he went through there. Paul went through a lot, and yet he could see at the end of life, I have fought a good fight. I've finished the course. I've kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, Paul didn't. He didn't seem to worry about what things that were happening to him. He just went on. Even in prison, he wrote letters to some of the churches, telling them to stand fast in the word. But you know what? The devil wasn't even done with Job yet. And when we turn to Job 2, verse 7 and 8, Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord and smote Job with sore boils from the soles of his foot unto his crown. And he took him a potsherd to scrape himself withal, and he sat down among the ashes. One ball would be bad enough, but he had them all over him. Can you imagine the misery? My cousin Alice has shingles. I guess she's pretty well over them now. She said it was a terrible thing, and I know I had them too. It was a painful, painful thing to have. We were glad when it was over. And I'm sure Job would have been too. But with all his pain, his wife even said, we might as well curse God and die. Do you still retain, in verse 9, do you still retain your integrity? Curse God and die. I know that wasn't the right thing. And I know that we want to point our finger at Job's wife right away. But you know what? I believe, just like all of our wives, they're concerned when we have pains. And they love us. And they wish that we wouldn't have this. And they pray that we'll be soon rid of it. Same way with the men and their wives. And I feel that we want to look at the good side too of Job's wife here. Maybe that was why she shouldn't have said that. But maybe she had a real concern because she saw how Job was suffering. She probably didn't want to see her loved one in such misery. We don't like to see anybody in misery, do we? I mean, when someone hurts, we all hurt. I suppose she believed and trusted in God until this happened. We don't really know it. The Bible doesn't say, but I believe she did. Now, with all this suffering, his wife does come and offer this pity yet. And all his friends came and offered, well, they blamed it on him. Blamed him for all this trouble, that it was his own fault. That's what I gather out of the chapters that are in between here, between the beginning and the end of Job. Now it says, Job didn't sin with his lips. He didn't sin with his mouth. He took it all graciously. And I believe that's one of the lessons that we need to learn as believers. When we suffer pains, we take them not joyfully necessarily, but from God, that there are some things that are preparing us, maybe to make us stronger. You know, when people suffer, it draws them closer to the Lord. Right? Why do the righteous suffer? That's been a question down through the ages. You know, there's a number of reasons for suffering. Number one, I know there's more than this, but I want to just give us a couple. In John chapter 9, it tells there of a man that was suffering. God healed him, and then they said, who sinned, this man or his parents? He said, no. Jesus said, no one. It was just that God would be glorified. So that's one of the reasons I believe that we suffer, that God can be glorified. Number two, I believe that suffering helps others. Others may see our patience in suffering and see a reality of living for Jesus. Our outlook at such times may bring others to repentance. I know there's stories that could be told about that. The story is told of a girl who married an unbeliever. He trusted her. He taunted her. He taunted her continually about her faith. But she didn't give up her faith. But one day while she was working in the kitchen, her clothes caught fire and she was burned pretty bad. And she went to the hospital. She was sent to the hospital. And there she didn't live very long. But in the hospital, the story says that she put her arms around her husband as best she could and said to him, "I only regret that I didn't live long enough to teach you or your parents that Jesus is real. He's our Savior. We can depend on Him. He's our refuge." She soon died. After the funeral, the husband was stirred and said to his parents, "Mary had something that we do not have. I'd like to have what she had." And soon the whole family embraced Mary's Jesus and her faith. That story had a good ending. A lot of them don't. But this story did. Sometimes suffering draws us closer to God. And we find that to be certainly true. Many times folks have said, I'm ready to go. That's another reason. It causes people to want to go to heaven. And people say that, I'm ready to go. I wish Jesus would take me home. And I believe that Job had all four of these. And I know there are more reasons for suffering. But here are four reasons that I believe that we suffer. Why Job suffered like he did. At the end of the book, it says that God said to his accusers that they need a sacrifice to God. In other words, I believe that they needed to repent for the way they had talked to Job. We'll look to that a little bit later here. Now let's go back to the last chapter. There's quite a few chapters in between here. But the last chapter of Job is 42. I believe it was pretty hard for Job to just sit and quietly listen. Well, I know it was because he answered them sometimes. Those comforters, I even think one of the chapters says they were miserable comforters. I'm not sure about that. But I believe it does say something about his miserable comforters. It really boils down to the fact that they blamed him, Job, for his terrible condition. Now, some of Job's statements are tremendous as we go through the book of Job. Even with all that he suffered, I just like to point out a few things that Job said. You know, it takes the strength of youth and it takes the wisdom of age to keep things in order. And I'd like to just turn to chapter 12. I told you to go to the end, but I just thought of this now. Chapter 12, verse 12. With the ancient is wisdom, and in length of days, understanding. With him is wisdom and strength. He has counsel and understanding. We know that we need both. We need the young with the strength of youth, and we need the older ones to have some wisdom. Now, another thing he said was, in 14:14, if a man die, shall he live again? All the days of my appointed time will I wait till my change come. Thou shalt call, and I will answer thee. Thou wilt have a desire to the work of thine hands. Job trusted in God no matter what. I mean, he knew that someday he's going to see God. If a man die, shall he live again? Shall his change come? And then in verse 9, or in chapter 19, we want to look at verse 25 and 26. For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God. Isn't that beautiful? He knew that this life is not all there is. There's more to life than this one. I know that my Redeemer liveth. Job spoke of the future. He could look down through the court. He did that by the power of the Spirit, I believe. He could see in the future. And I say tonight, what truths are written here in this chapter? You know, in verse 23:10, he talks about gold. I'm going to come forth as gold. Maybe I ought to turn to that. But he knoweth the way that I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. Now, he was really being tried here with his suffering. But he still talked about gold. When we think about gold, we think about something very valuable. And I believe tonight that saints are valuable to God. And then in chapter 38, God speaks, and he speaks with great wisdom. He sees the folly of Job's comforters. And over in chapter 42, God tells all these comforters that they need to offer up sacrifices for all their past folly. He even asked Job to pray for them. He had a lot of confidence in Job. And I do too. I believe Job was an upright, a person that we can look up to. I know he's a person that's going to help me to bear suffering if that comes my way. Job's patience, Job's perseverance. I don't know how long this was. Something had only lasted maybe a couple weeks. I'm not sure how long he suffered with this, but he was one that we can look up to for comfort. Now in verse 10, we find that the Lord takes away the suffering. And I say, where was Satan now? I believe Satan was ashamed of himself. I think he realized that not everybody's going to go back. And Satan needs to learn that from us too. Not everybody's going to go back to the world. Some of us are going to stay on the Lord's side. And God gave Job twice as much as he had before. But he gave the same amount of children. And we heard that over the pulpit many times. Why didn't he give him double children? It was because he didn't lose those children. They were all saved, we believe. They were secure in heaven. And I'd like for us to read verse 12 together. So the Lord blessed the latter end of Job more than his beginning, for he had 14,000 sheep and 6,000 camels and 1,000 yoke of oxen and 1,000 she asses. He had also 7 sons and 3 daughters. You know what? God will see us through to the other side. Might not be an easy transition. It's not been in the years past for some. Some go quickly, some suffer a lot. But haven't they been good examples to us? Many of them. I could just name some right now, but I'm not going to name anybody, but there are just those that have really been a blessing. Some who have suffered a lot in their lives. To the end. And that's my advice to us tonight. Let's serve the Lord, no matter what comes along, unto the end. Job's fruitful life suddenly came to an abrupt halt. All was lost in reverses. His painful, dreary days were made even harder by those who came and tried to prove where his problems came from. Surely this grieved Job's sorrowing heart as he stood alone and pondered the truth of his life. What did God have in store for him? Did God care anymore? Job did not allow bitterness to control his life and actions. He did not express hatred or resentment against his false accusers or against God. Sitting on his bed of ashes to soothe the boils, he had much time to think, ponder, and pray about this bewildering experience that he couldn't change. You know, sometimes he couldn't change. Sometimes we can't change things. When the strokes against his life went deeper than he could groan, Job sinned not. Job said, God would put strength in me in 23:6. He saw God's greatness as his only source of strength. God did not tell Job why he faced this experience. God was glorified by Job's life, and Satan's scheme was defeated. We do not know Arlie's story, but we are writing it today by our responses to the things we face. We face the same adversary Job faced, and God doesn't always let us know why we face certain things. We too may be misunderstood and falsely accused when we're doing good. God wants to put strength in us to bear whatever burden He allows for us to carry. God may choose to not remove the test, but to give us strength to bear it and to carry us through. As Job's life and example encourage us, so may our responses encourage others.